Want to get back to the story now from overseas. Significant story of that. 10 are dead, at least 50 injured. An explosion rocking a subway train in the Russian city of St. Petersburg. The Kremlin now saying investigators are looking at this as possible terror. Amy Kellogg watching that story from Europe with the latest. Amy, what do you have now?
Hi, Bill. Well, the original reports were that there were two blasts between two separate subway stations in St. Petersburg, and now it sounds like maybe there was one blast between the two subway stations instead of one at each station. Again, President Putin saying that they're looking into all causes, including terrorism. But, Bill, when you look at the pictures from the aftermath of this explosion, it looks like there must have been a bomb inside of that train. 10 people killed, 50 injured, according to reports, and many of them may be children. St. Petersburg is Russia's second city. It is President Putin's hometown. He happens to be there today, Bill, meeting with the president of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko. And so he's been informed of all of this, of course. He has said they're looking into causes, but a massive evacuation has just completed itself in St. Petersburg. Helicopters were brought to the scene to evacuate some of the dead and the injured. It was a quite shocking bit of news that happened this afternoon. It wasn't at rush hour. It was in the middle of the afternoon. These subways are very widely used in Russia. They're extremely deep because they were used as bomb shelters during World War II. There have been, over the years, numerous terrorist attacks in Russia. There's a militant movement in Chechnya and Dagestan, but there hasn't been an explosion or a terrorist attack in Russia since 2011. So again, no one is calling it that yet, but a lot of reports are suggesting that there was shrapnel used in at least one of the things that exploded on that wagon. Again, it's possible that casualty numbers will increase over time. Some of the images that have not been shown that are circulating, Bill, on social media are very disturbing and graphic, and it really just does portray a scene of complete fear and chaos and bloodshed. So we will be watching to see how this story develops over the day. But again, at least one explosion in the subway in Russia's second city, St. Petersburg, just a short while ago.
Interesting that Putin was in that town at the same time. Thank you, Amy. Watch it for us, okay? There will be developments throughout the morning. We'll bring them to you. In Milan, Italy, Amy Kellogg with the latest there.
Yeah, right now information is kind of scarce on that whole thing going on in Petersburg, Russia. You're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR. This is a part of the Complaint Department on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, automatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Tom Laquan at your-poetry.com. We're on Pinterest and SoundCloud. You know, I hope this is an accident and it's not some sort of terrorist thing. Because it's just crazy. It's just crazy overall. What can I tell you? Anyway, sit back. Relax. And
white supremacist has admitted to fatally stabbing a homeless man to death because he was black. The man is James Jackson. The suspect is James Jackson. And he turned himself in and completely confessed not only to the murder, but confessed that he is a white supremacist. James Jackson allegedly told investigators he traveled from Maryland and was looking to harm black men when he encountered Timothy Kaufman at around 11:15 p.m. Monday in Manhattan. Jackson then allegedly attacked Kaufman with a large sword, stabbing him repeatedly. Kaufman, who was reportedly homeless, stumbled into a police department with stab wounds to his chest and back and died later at a hospital.
Because if you're supreme and you're so much superior to other people, what you do is you find the most powerless person there is and then attack them at their most vulnerable moment when they can't defend themselves. That's how people prove how supreme they are. But in their idiotic heads, that's how they think. They think, oh, I'll show them. He's got no weapon. I do. He can't defend himself. He has no power at all. Now, am I going to go? It actually reminds me of Dylann Roof. He said, well, I mean, I really wanted to kill black people, but I didn't want to go into an inner city in his way of thinking because that would have been dangerous. So I just shot people at a church because it would have been it's easier. But yet, in their twisted minds, they think they're really courageous.
Yeah.
And it reminds me a lot of Islamic terrorists. Right, like, oh, I'll go run over this Spanish teacher in the middle of London, and because I'm really courageous.
Oh my God, can you imagine? Look, I missed this story because I didn't see a ton of coverage on it. I knew about this story because our viewers sent it to me, and they're like, you need to cover this. But can you imagine if this wasn't a white supremacist and it was a Muslim guy who ambushed, anyone and killed them with a sword?
If there was a mad Muslim running around with a sword in the middle of New York saying, I'm doing this for Allah and to show that Muslims are supreme, they would have, you'd think there wouldn't have been nonstop coverage of it?
But guys, we mustn't, this is, I know it's going to be difficult, but we mustn't blame all white people for this one attack. I mean, it's definitely not a part of white ideology. White supremacy isn't an inherent gene that white people have. Unlike Muslims, which are all terrorists, according to, ironically, people like James Jackson. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things I found on the internet was James Jackson's viewing habits. Now, of course, it's a laundry list of the same websites that you would assume that I'm not even going to mention. Mm-hmm. But I looked into some of his favorited videos, and you can completely analyze all of the sexual repression that this person feels, like how much anxiety he feels and also how racist he is just by looking at his six favorite videos, which start off with why I'm quitting porn and achieving goals, which is like a fitness guy account that he was following. Mm-hmm. And then another one is four exercises to build big shoulders, I guess maybe to stab better or possibly because he was uncomfortable about the size of his weak ass shoulders. Then it takes the tangent into more racist stuff, which is blacks know that blacks are violent, so why does white media pretend they are not? Or some
other. You're gonna talk to me about violence? You just killed a guy. You killed a guy with a sword. You want to talk to me about violence?
Yeah.
No, because they're stupid. Like all terrorists are stupid. So I'm going to show, like the Islamic terrorists will say, I'm going to show you the West how violent they are by going around killing all these folks, right? Yeah. And this guy, who is of course a terrorist, he's doing it for a political reason. That's exactly the definition of a terrorist, attacking a civilian and killing them for a political reason. Goes around saying, I'm going to show how black people are violent by murdering one who's defenseless. Wow, you really proved your point.
No, in addition to the multiple young black women and brown women that are missing in D.C. who are not getting any coverage, we get this, they're not getting any coverage. But we heard about what happened in the U.K. over and over and over and over again. This is terrorism. This is terrorism. This is terrorism. We are being terrorized in our neighborhoods. Those of us that come from black and brown communities, that come from lower income communities, are being terrorized every day. That man that he killed, the picture that I see is his selfie when he voted, a homeless man who took the time to still go out and vote and be part of the political process, whose life was taken by, you know, someone who's insane because he's absolutely out of his mind. But that this is what is being advocated by this administration through this constant
demonization.
Yes, people of color and these people that are working on behalf of this administration that is pushing the white supremacy agenda. And people look at us like we're talking about ghosts, like we're in Scooby-Doo. Like, what are you talking about? There's no racism here.
Right. I mean, we elected a black man, a biracial man at one point. So
and in this story,
racism.
And in this story, there will be people in the comment section who say, oh, you guys are just playing the race card.
Yeah,
he killed someone based on race. We didn't say it. He said it. If that's not the race card, I don't know what it is. And we didn't play it. He did. And he murdered based on it. We're not the Young Turks. You're the Young Turks. You power this show. Together, we built something amazing. We've broken stories like the Donna Brazil story the mainstream media wouldn't break. We built the studio. We built this network. It's now number one. All thanks to you guys. Let's come build it even bigger and stronger. TYTnetwork.com/join.
And you gotta love the Young Turks, folks. This is JDR. You're listening to Views with a Twist. And that was the Young Turks. Very opinionated now. It's a very opinionated crew. And, you know, you can blame a lot of things on administration, government, yada, 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 the president. You know, in the end, it's just people. You know, it's the human element. You have your good, you have your bad. And this guy who was running out wanting to just murder black people, I mean, how far he think he was going to get with that? You know what I mean? Sure, I mean, well, he did. He murdered one and now he's going to jail for the rest of his life. He's lucky he's not getting a death penalty because we don't have it here in the state. So he's very lucky. You know, I mean, this guy had to come from out of state with some sort of freaked out idea about I'm going to kill a certain race of people. I mean, it wasn't even a planned out thing, you know? I mean, where, you know, he walks into, a black neighborhood, a Hispanic neighborhood, and, you know, and he's, you know, he's a sniper, or, you know, he has a grenade and something else, and, you know, makes things really uncomfortable. This guy walks up and just kills the weakest black man that he could find. The weakest black man that he could find. For something that he thinks is justifiable. Now the question is, do you blame the administration? Because of the one woman there with the Young Turks was blaming administration, and well, I don't know. I don't know if you can actually blame administration for the craziness that goes on in someone's head. Might have a bit to do with it, sure. I'm sure in a lot of cases it does. Like in the case of that guy, I think it was in Cleveland, where he killed the two Indian guys. He shot two Indian guys and one white guy. And the one Indian guy died. I think it was in Cleveland. Was it in Cleveland or something like that? Or Kansas. Kansas or something. I mean, you know, that's all just politically driven. And what this guy did is also politically driven, but in a different sense. There's a different sense. I mean, you would ask her, why is it a different sense? One guy bragged about killing some Arabs, and the other guy says, you know, he wants to kill black men. Where's the different sense? The different sense is one is more politically motivated than the other. The other is basically just crazy. It's a crazy racist person. The first one, the guy in Kansas that shot the Indian guys, He's politically motivated. He's also nuts. But he's more politically motivated than the guy that came here to kill black people. In my opinion, he's more politically motivated. Because, for one thing, he said, get out of my country. This guy that killed the black man, from what I understand, didn't say anything. So this is more of a psychopathic train of thought. Whereas the guy in Kansas was more a politically motivated killing moment in his mind, where he thought he was avenging the country. Takes all kinds, I guess. You listen to Interviews with a Twist. My name is JDR on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS. John Robinson at writerscafe.org. Tawa Kwan at your-poetry.com. We're on Pinterest and SoundCloud. I had a little dropout there. That's why, if it sounded just a little weird, I had a little dropout. And yeah, anyway, I'll be back. Enjoy.
Thing wanted to go. course, somebody sent me this. Somebody sent me an email and give me a heads up about this story. So Bernie Sanders said he's going to give a speech. So this is from the Excelsior. That's a great name for a thing. Record numbers of graduation applicants in wake of Bernie Sanders' announcements. It says over 17,000 Brooklyn College students have applied to graduate since the school announced that Bernie Sanders would be delivering this year's commencement speech. Isn't that amazing? This is the highest number of attempted graduations in this school's history, totaling almost exactly the number of undergraduates enrolled at the college. Sanders, who attended Brooklyn College for 1 year and made a campaign stop on campus during the 2016 presidential bid, was a highly popular candidate among Brooklyn College students. Further investigation has revealed that his presence at commencement has prompted some students to undertake unorthodox methods in their attempts to graduate. One undergraduate academic advisor stated a solid 2/3 of the applicants don't nearly meet the requirements to graduate. They're short credits. They haven't completed their speech screenings. Some haven't even declared majors.
A number of them don't even appear to attend the school.
Yeah. Behind this, some of them are still in high school. Behind this strange phenomena are thousands of underclassmen that simply applied on the off chance they would be allowed to attend commencement. I'm a freshman, said Frederick Julie, an undeclared second semester student who applied to graduate this spring. I just want to see the speech. Julie added, SUNY's first is always glitching. I just thought maybe I'd be able to slip through, go to a commencement, and then register for next semester. I realize it's far-fetched, but so are the chances of getting Bernie for commencement. Some students decided to graduate this year strategically for the purpose of seeing Sanders speak. Christopher Muckle, a senior, said he was in no rush to graduate until he found out about the commencement speaker. I've been an undergraduate for 8 years.
It's like the Animal House guy.
Yeah. I'm majoring in accounting, operations, management, philosophy, and Spanish. Hey, maybe that's your problem, Chris. Maybe you fucking narrowed down your major there. What do you want to do?
His name is Christopher Muckle. That's awesome. He's like a cartoon character.
I tell you what, you know who could make a lot of money? A guy selling cap and gowns across the street from the just.
Yeah, people. There you go.
If I were writing a story or a book about a guy who went to college and never graduated and was like majored in every major they possibly had just so we could extend his time out, I would name him Christopher Muckle. That's just, it's too perfect.
So I was going to go for a biology major as well. But when I found out about Bernie, I decided this was my year. All right, so there you go. So that's a good feel-good story. It turns out Bernie, still the most popular politician in the country. Although, you know who doesn't like him? The Democratic establishment. That would be the people that don't like that. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, your Donna Brazils. You know, your corporate liars. Your corrupt liars. That's who Debbie Wasserman Schultz is. She's a cheater and a liar. She has no integrity. She has no ethics. Donna Brazile, same thing. She's a cheater. She's a liar. She has no ethics, no character. And she still sends me emails asking for money. Who the fuck thought that was a good idea to have Debbie Donna Brazile send out fundraising? And we know she cheated the guy. I wonder how they lost. I wonder how these people lost. I can't get over how they lost.
And that wasn't the Young Turks, from what I understand. There's another guy. I don't know if that's Pac-Man or whoever that guy is. But my thing is, it's amazing how Bernie Sanders resonates with the young generation. I mean, this guy is, what, pushing 75, 76? And he just gets the young people up and moving. You know, he knows what to say. He knows what they want to hear. He knows what they want this country to be about. And that is, like, you know, it's just, it's, hey, hats off, you know? What can I tell you? Anyway, you listen to Views with a Twist. I shall return.
Republicans to take a while on a bad Monday.
It is Friday, as I said before. Quick question, just to start off. Anybody here live in America?
America!
Hey. Nice, nice, a local crowd. So, you're going to want to hear this. There's a new twist in the Trump travel ban saga. As you know, a few weeks ago, Trump tried a second time to ban people from certain Muslim-majority countries. Then a judge stepped in and put it to a halt, citing an obscure law called the Constitution. Well, the stay on the travel ban was originally only supposed to be temporary, but now that judge in Hawaii just extended his order blocking Trump's travel ban, so it's time for Trump to say aloha to his travel ban. And aloha to refugees. The state of Hawaii, this is the deal, the state of Hawaii in court with this judge argued that even though the travel ban had been revised, it still violated the First Amendment because it was like a neon sign flashing Muslim ban, which coincidentally is what Trump wants to put on the Statue of Liberty. And according, it's quite loud, that would really upset people in New Jersey, I think. According to Hawaii, even though the White House dropped all references to religion in the new order, it's still unconstitutional because they say it's just a watered-down version of the first one. And as evidence, they cited this surprise witness.
This is a watered-down version of the first one. This is a watered-down version.
Curses! Curses! I foiled me again! Now, the judge said it was fair to consider Trump's public statements, writing, "The court will not crawl into a corner, pull the shutters closed, and pretend it has not seen what it has." damn, that is not just a legal opinion. That is a Beyonce lyric. No, no.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I don't know why that's my Beyonce
the
impression, fingers? In case you're
with
wondering. No.
No.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of presidents, uh-huh. presidents, uh-huh. The commander-in-chief. George W. Bush, you guys remember that guy? Yeah?
Hey.
About yay tall, Texas accent, made the worst foreign policy decisions in American history. Well, George W. Bush attended Trump's inauguration in January, which you also might remember from this picture right here. Actually, he almost got kicked out because Trump thought he was a Muslim. They wasn't sure what this was. Well, apparently, Bush was just as bewildered as the rest of us because it came out that as he was leaving the inauguration, President Bush said, "That was some weird." That was some weird.
Yeah, that was my man Stephen Colbert. And the Stephen Colbert, The Late Show on CBS. And he, you know, talking about the gift that keeps on giving, Donald Trump and his administration. I mean, it is the gift that keeps on giving. You know, we're going to see this is going to be 4 years of fun. And should he get elected again for another 4 years, then I will just scratch my head and say, I have no idea what the American public wants. Absolutely no idea. I mean, you know, he can turn things around now. He can turn things around and turn out to be a really great president, you know, within the next 4 years. And then you're thinking, oh, okay, well, hell, he did all right. So just vote him in again. Yeah, I don't see that happening. But, you know, hey, let's keep optimistic, right? Optimistic. Anyway, I'm going to give my shout-outs to the FDNY, the NYPD, the ASPCA, North Shore Animal League, SOS Wildlife of India, all my friends in Deutschland, people that listen to me, Pet Pardons, if they're still alive, and... yeah, I know I forgot somebody, but you know what? I'll get to you next week. All right. I might be back. I might not.
Any black women here? Not one black woman is here? For real? Black women are not quiet. There isn't like a black woman who's like shy and not... That doesn't exist. Is there really not one black woman here? Is there a black guy here?
Yeah.
What'd you do with the women? All right, no black women. All right, let's talk about them. Black women scare me. They do. Let's talk about them. This is great. We can get out everything we've ever wanted to say about black women. This is the time. Open forum. Whatever you... No, I'm kidding, sir. He's like, well, I'd like to say a couple things. Funny, you should say, I have a list on my phone. Black women scare me. You know, black women scare me because they're super honest. Like, they're very honest, like, to a fault. Like a black woman will say shit to your face without any regard for your feelings whatsoever. Swear to God, a black woman came up to me. She goes, "You know who you look like?" I was like, "Oh God, this is gonna suck." She goes, "You look like an ugly version of Drake." I was like, "Oh, that kind of sucks." Because I always thought Drake was the ugly version of Drake. No, it's me. I don't think I'm ugly. I don't think I'm great looking, but like, you know, when I get compliments on my looks, like they're always backhanded compliments, you know? Like people will be like, "Dan, I like your eyebrows." "Sweet, thanks for convincing yourself in front of my face." that you're okay with my face. And very rarely, like, I'll get like a super hot girl's phone number, which is always really fun. But it's never like a smooth transaction, you know? It's never like, what's up, hot girl? Give me your number. No problem, cool guy. See you at Abercrombie. It's never like that. Like, whenever I get a super hot girl's number, it's always preceded by the words, you know what? Fuck it. Hey, this is Dana Dude at the Laugh Factory. If you like this video, make sure to subscribe to our channel. If you hated this video, I'm sure you'll comment underneath right now.
Is the notorious drug kingpin who escaped a prison in Mexico fairly recently. And he was extradited to the United States where he is currently awaiting a trial. He is in New York, actually. And so there's an interesting argument being made now by his appointed lawyers who argue that, hey, you know what, maybe his prison conditions are a little too harsh. And as a result, we're having a hard time, you know, giving him a fair shot in our justice system. Okay, so let me give you the details. So Guzman is restricted to his New York City cell for 23 hours a day with the lights on at all times. He has 1 hour of exercise in a small interior cage with no access to fresh air or sunlight. His captivity appeared to be unnecessarily harsh and in contravention of minimum UN standards for the treatment of prisoners. That was a statement made by Amnesty International. Now, Amnesty International claims that they're going to do further investigations of this to kind of determine whether or not his prison conditions are fair and whether or not it gets in the way of true justice in this case. Let me give you more details about what they feel. We will continue to investigate cases of alleged improper treatment of prisoners, regardless of who the prisoner is or what they may have done. All right.
I'm curious what you all think about this, because we might be all over the board on our opinions on this.
Yeah.
All right, Ray, you start.
I'm split, because on one hand, I definitely believe in the cause of fair treatment for prisoners. On the other hand, I kind of don't give a damn about El Chapo. And I also think there may be a little bit of like, yeah, maybe his prison conditions are harsh, or maybe they're just harsh compared to the Mickey Mouse resorts that he escaped from twice in the past.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So the second part of that is what really gives me pause here. Because it doesn't matter how bad the guy is. We can't torture him and do unusual. And I think this solitary confinement is in essence torture. So Jerry Sandusky is a piece of crap and he's like the worst guy alive. There's thousands of those cases. Doesn't mean we should put him in a hole and give them solitary confinement for 23 hours a day. But Al Chapo is a guy who's broken out of many prisons.
Yeah.
So he says, well, you won't let me call anyone outside. Yeah, because the last time you called someone outside, it was a mile long tunnel underneath the prison. So he's got the worst case to make. And even so, it still sounds a bit too harsh.
Disagree. I think that this is one of the rare situations where I think that these restrictive prison conditions make sense, because he's not some random like person who was involved in the drug trade. He was or is a highly connected person who has a network of individuals that are willing to do whatever it is and whatever it is to help him get out, right? And not necessarily get out of our prisons or escape our prisons. I would argue that it might be a little more difficult here. But nonetheless, he is a risk. And I think that they're trying to do whatever is possible to ensure that he's not like wheeling and dealing while he's in prison. Because that's something that happens as well. You have people inside still manipulating their like drug rings and shit. So I think that's what they're concerned about.
I think it's... You know, it's always risky when you have different standards for different people, right? So, like, someone would say, well, Edward Snowden's he's a traitor. He's a traitor.
Traitor. Or committing treason.
He's a traitor. He's a traitor. He's traitored. And so him or Private Manning, right? They tortured him, and it was all because, you know, and they all had bullshit reasons why they did it. And I'm pretty sure that if you are running a prison, you should be able to keep the most visible guy in your prison secure. And if you can't, you know, then let's have somebody else come run the prison. And I don't think you need to. I understand. I'm not being sympathetic to this guy. I'm saying what they can then do to anybody, because they say they're always just as bad as that guy. So it's a slippery slope. And that's why we have rules that you have to treat everyone equally. I think I don't think it's OK for the state to be enforcing torture on anyone. I don't know if this rises to the level of torture, but I think we lock up terrorists in our country, and we don't have to do that to them, do we? I mean, are they all?
I'm sure we're giving them insanely strict and harsh conditions, yeah, as well. And look, there are some components of this that I'm willing to have a conversation on, right? I'm very important. Like, whether or not I want to have a conversation matters.
FBI's calling her right now. Hey, Anna, right, we heard you were willing to have a conversation.
But if I were, you know, if I had to adjudicate this situation, then I would say, all right, we don't need to leave the lights on for 23 hours a day, right? So let the guys sleep. It's really hard to sleep with the lights on, whatever it is. But I totally understand why they want to isolate him, especially when you consider how powerful he is and how connected he is.
I think so. Funny enough, I think everybody's right, even though we're disagreeing. Mm-hmm. But let me explain. So, yeah, of course, Jimmy, we have to have the same standard for everybody. We can't say, well, I really don't like that guy. Right? That's the whole point of the sentence. You show that you really don't like that guy when you give him a life sentence. Or, hey, that wasn't so bad, you got a year, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how we adjudicate that. On the other hand, there are some unique situations that call for very specific measures. So El Chapo is a guy who could call the outside world and could have passwords, and they've had in the past. And he could say, like, oh, I hope Joey's doing okay. And that means murder Jose in Sinaloa. Who knows, right? So you could be a little bit careful. Now, if you got a hacker, am I going to give him access to the computer at the prison library? Probably not. So, you know, you could make judgment calls there case by case. Or really dangerous hacker, presumably, right? But that doesn't mean that you keep him in a hole for 23 hours and you don't let him see sunlight. There has to be some bare minimum guidelines to how we treat human beings, even if they're El Chapo. Mm. And so, you know, look, we're on the super right-wing, draconian edge of that when you look at the whole world. In Norway, it's unbelievable what the prisoners get. And Breivik, the guy who murdered dozens of people, including all those kids in Norway, is complaining that he only has PlayStation 3 and they haven't updated it to PlayStation 4. I'm not kidding. And that's the worst mass murder they ever had in Norway. And so on the other hand, we go way over the top. Solitary confinement at a drop of a hat when it is almost certainly torture. And they're saying, nah, this is lawyer, and I don't know if it's true, but they're saying El Chapo is already imagining people in his room and having conversations with people that don't exist. But it is believable, because that's what happens to the human mind if you can't talk to anyone else. We're social animals, and it breaks us psychologically. So we're not, Eighth Amendment, we're not supposed to do that. And as human beings, we shouldn't do that to other human beings, because it's not good enough to say that they're the bad guys. We're supposed to be the good guys. Our reporter Jordan Chatton broke the Donna Brazile story. He was right, she just apologized for it. Help us get more reporters like that. You're the one responsible for that. Thank you, and let's do more right now at tytnetwork.com/go.
And thanks again to the Young Turks. Very opinionated crew. You can catch them on YouTube. You know, just look up Young Turks, and you can see their show. And then it's, you know, it's really good. It's really, you know, it's like I said, very opinionated. But here's my opinion. Number one, I'm not going to call Eric Snowden a traitor. Okay. What Eric Snowden did, we all knew anyway. He just let it out, and he let more of it out than the government would have wished to have had exposed. He pissed the government off. That's why he's a traitor. He's a traitor to the government. To me, he's not a traitor. He didn't sell these government secrets, whatever, to foreign nations. Not as far as I understand. He just let the American public know, hey, this is what the NSA does. They are listening to you. They are watching you. That's not my definition of a traitor. Number two, you got a guy like El Chapo. Listen, you got a problem over there? No. All right. Listen, I don't care if they keep the dude in a 15x5 inch cell for 24 hours a day and just shove him food every now and then. Do you know what El Chapo did as a drug lord? How many people he had killed? How many people he may have killed himself? And I'm not talking about just violently. I'm talking about with drugs as well. Mount up the casualties that he has caused in his reign as drug lord. And now you're going to argue about how he's being treated? I'm sorry. I can't go along with that. I can't go along with that. That's why I had to get out of the ACLU. That's why I had to get out of that organization, because they defended the rights of the KKK. And I'm like, yeah, I understand the KKK freedom of speech and blah, 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 but I'm not defending their rights. What rights? The right to freedom of speech, yes. Other than that, there are no rights that the KKK has. But hey, you got these organizations, and you know, then if you're going to treat this person this way, you got to treat the other person this way, you know, the same way. If you're going to treat this person this way, you got to treat the other person the same way. So, well, no, not necessarily. If I treat El Chapo this way, I don't have to treat the other murderer this way. It all depends on the capitalization of what it is they did. When I say the capitalization, I mean just how heinous were their acts. That would tell me, well, I'm gonna treat this dude this way. He's getting 23 hours in a cell. He gets out for an hour, gets to walk around. He gets food shoved through the little slot, and that's it. He doesn't need sunlight and all that other crap. He doesn't need it. And if the other guy is the other person is a less heinous murderer, well, maybe they get 2 hours of walking around in a cage. Other than that, the treatment is the same. Anyway, you've been listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JD on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, Podomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org. Tawa Kwan at your-poetry.com, Warsaw on SoundCloud and Pinterest. Yeah, I gave my shout-outs, right? Okay, all right, folks, we'll fade out, and I'll see ya. With all the laughter, the smiling faces. You left me here with all the contradictions, lies and convictions. You left me here with all the unreal reality. All those crazy contradictions, those crazy, crazy things. You left me here. You left me here. You left me here with all the crazy people making life a serious thing. You left me here with someone really missing a point. It's time to spread the love and not the hate. It's time to get rid of the nonsense. Got to break it on down. Got to do the right thing. Yeah, but you left me here. You left me here. You left me here. You left me here. Oh, you left me here.
conviction.